Thank you, Brother Gaiman. Thank you, choir. Take your Bibles, please. And I invite you to turn to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2, and we'll read verses 1 through 3. The title of the message is A Charge from a Dying King. The Charge from a Dying King. 1 Kings chapter 2. You'll remember as you're finding your place that this is a time when King David is passing away. We've talked about some of the comfort they gave him with Abishag, and then one of his sons, Adonijah, who rebelled and was trying to take over the throne. Then his anointing of Solomon, which in many ways was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we're going to take a glimpse at something that he was telling King Solomon in his last words. 1 Kings chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. That is, like all other men who passed away and died. I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments, and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. These are some of the last words that were given by the head in some different books, the last words of very famous men. It's always interesting to see what they say. Some who were very brash and bold in life were not very brash and bold in their hour of death. And it is said of Babe Ruth that he cried out and looked out the window and said, Oh God, I'm dying. Though he was a great success as far as the world goes, whenever the time came for him to die, he didn't seem to have that peace of the Lord. The last words of dying people are very important words. And I've listened many occasions to those who were passing away to hear what they were saying and what they had to say. I can tell you that some of them have been very interesting. Some of them have been very disappointing in some ways. When I was studying for this message, I decided to pretend for a little bit that I was on hospice care and that my family was gathered around, and I knew that I just had a few days to live. And in my mind, I took all of my family and all of my grandchildren and said out loud, pretending that these were my last days, I said out loud to them, to the Lord in my study, and to them in pretension, what I really wanted to say to them. To be honest with you, it brought me to tears at times when I thought about the reality of that coming someday. What will be your last words if you have that opportunity indeed to say to your family and to your loved ones? Some people will say, well, I want you to know I've left you financially well off. Now, personally, I've decided that my wife and I are going to spend every dime of our children and grandchildren's inheritance. I don't know that I want to leave them well off. But that sometimes is a concern of some people. And my son's here, so I may leave a little bit, but I'll just comfort him. But that seems to be the thing where the focus is. You know, I'm leaving you materially well off. And there's nothing wrong with that, and I think that's probably good. Some would say, well, I want you to know now that I've taken everything. I've gone to the funeral home. I've gotten everything in order. Everything's paid for. I just want you to know that. My casket's paid for, and the funeral's paid for, and all of those things are paid for. And so they'll tell them about the business end and about the will and about all of those things. But you know, David was concerned in his last words not so much with those things, but he was concerned with Solomon having character and with Solomon continuing to serve God in a way that would glorify the Lord. His primary concern for Solomon and for Israel was the spiritual concern. I believe that's the way it ought to be in our lives. And so David said, In essence, if your heart's right with God, if you'll live for God, I know God's blessings will be on your life. And I can tell you today, if you'll make up your mind to live for Jesus, God will take care of the rest of it. So he was giving him good advice. And Solomon, listen. Adonijah didn't want to listen. And he paid the price ultimately, and we've already preached about that. But Solomon was willing to listen to what King David said. So let's look very quickly at about three things here that we want to see. In verse 3, we see, first of all, the importance of complete obedience to God. And I want you to underscore that word complete in your mind. The importance of complete obedience to God. He said in verse 3, "And keep the charge of the Lord thy God." And then he enumerates some of those things. I think what David was saying here to Solomon was, don't just keep part of the things that are the will of God. You know, that was Saul's problem. King Saul had an opportunity to do what was right before God, but he didn't do what was right before the Lord. He partially obeyed God. How do we know? Well, the Bible tells us about that. There was an occasion where he went out to fight the Amalekites. And God said, I want you to destroy all of the Amalekites. Get rid of them. And then I want you to destroy their king, King Agag. Get rid of him. That may sound a little harsh to us, but those were the enemies of God, and they were hurting anything that was good that was coming down the pike. And so God said, I want you to go and get rid of all of the Amalekites, and I want you to get rid of Agag. And yet King Saul spared some of the animals. He was supposed to kill all of them, and he spared King Agag. He did a lot of good things, and he obeyed God in a lot of ways. That's like a lot of Baptists I know. We obey God here and here and here, but over here we decide, well, I don't want to obey him there. We won't drink, and we won't cuss, and we won't smoke. We won't run around with anybody that does, but we won't give our 10% or our tithes and offerings to the Lord. We'll obey in all of those other areas and brag about it, but when it comes right down to doing all that God has told us to do, we say, hey, wait a minute, I'm not sure I want to do that. And so King Saul allowed the sheep to come back, and he got real religious about it, by the way. Whenever the prophet faced him with it, he said to the prophet, well, you know I'm going to give that as a sacrifice and use it on the sacrifice for God. Did you know God said, I'd rather have you obey to give me a sacrifice? I'd rather have you live right than to just tithe and give your money to the church, although that's right to do. And so he wouldn't do that. And he said, well, you know, I reasoned in my own mind, like a lot of Christians do, that this is the right thing to do. And so I brought back the sheep to offer as a sacrifice, and I decided to have mercy on King Agag. And the man of God said, that's not what God said. And he said, well, I've obeyed. He said, well, what's the bleeding of the sheep mean? And why do we have all of this noise over here is what he's talking about. He was saying to him, you did not obey. God said, kill, and you wouldn't do it. God said, kill Agag, and you wouldn't be willing to do that. So I can tell you today, listen, partial obedience is disobedience. Mark that in your mind, write it in your Bible. Partial obedience is disobedience. Now, I know we all fail from time to time, but we have to get that right away. We have to get right back in fellowship and in the will of God. But partial obedience is disobedience. Saul did a lot of good things, but God said, you didn't do the right thing, and therefore you're going to lose the throne. Now, this implies some things as we all recognize God as king. You see, it doesn't do me any good to say God is. We serve an awesome God, a marvelous, all-powerful God, the Creator. And I've mentioned that God is so great and so awesome and so fabulous and fantastic. He is God, and He is the King of our life. Solomon had to remember that he had a master. And that goes along, dovetails with our adult Sunday school lesson this morning. But he absolutely had a master. Now, I'm sure Solomon wanted to honor David. I'm sure he did. It seems that he respected him, although I think maybe Solomon was a little bit spoiled and had been raised by the women more than the men, and he said something about that later. But I believe that he honored his daddy. But his daddy was saying to him, honor me, yes, but honor God more than me, because I'm going to leave the scene. And you better keep your eyes, and if you will, that'll work out. Honor God more. You see, I worked until they died, and then you couldn't find them anywhere. The problem was they were honoring mom and daddy, and that's okay, but they needed to honor God and keep on serving God. Now, that was the heart of Joseph, wasn't it? Didn't matter where Joseph was or what Joseph was going to do. He had made up his mind that the number one thing for him to do was honor God. So when Potiphar's wife came and he said, no, I'm not going to do that. Can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Not against Jacob, my father, not against anyone else, but how can I do this thing and sin against God? And that'll keep us understanding that we would choose, no matter where we are, whether we're in darkness or light, we're going to do what God tells us to do. Whether we are alone, we're in the church, we're going to still do what God has told us to do, because we're looking at God. A teenager, whether you're there with your parents or whether you're away from your parents, you're going to do what's right because you love God and you know that He is. A lot of teenagers, when you hit about 18 or 19, they're able to leave home, find out the reality of life. And a lot of them go in the military service. You know, there's nothing wrong with that, but they go in the military service. I don't have the inhibitions mom and dad's given me. Let me tell you something. It won't matter if you're a Marine or an Army sergeant or whatever it may be. It doesn't matter who you are or where you are. If you've got it right in your heart about God, you're going to live for God. Even if you leave home, you're going to live for God. Another little thing I see here is it invokes thoroughness and obedience. Look how he says, he covers a number of things. Walk in his ways and his judgments and his testimonies. Now, I looked all those words up, to be honest with you, in the original language, and I came to this conclusion. They all say, really, basically, synonyms. Here's what he's telling him. He's saying, Solomon, obey all of the law of God. Obey everything that the Father, obey every bit of it. You know, it's natural sometimes and very easy that might embarrass us if we did publicly. There are a lot of those things. We know that if we did them, we might get a disease. Or we know if we did those things that there might be some kind of loss of reputation. Somebody would find it out. And a number of different reasons that maybe we obey. But I believe sometimes we think that there are some trifling things that are not important to God, and they are important to God. I believe sometimes we try to have a little pet sin. But I can tell you today that every one of God's commandments, and in the New Testament, all of His teachings are important. Whatever they are important to you and to me as children of God, and we should obey all of them, every last one of them. And I really believe the crucial test usually is in little things. I read a sermon one time by Charles Spurgeon entitled Little Things. And basically, there's no such thing in a way in the sight of God. We're either in His will or out of His will. We say, oh, over here, if I can do those, these are the big things, I can do those. God did through evil, obey God, all those things. And every believer should obey God. And little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. It doesn't take much yeast to make the bread rise. Amen? And that's what God is saying. It's so little life to hold on to and baby and not get rid of. That hurt our life and our testimony and our relationship with God. I see a second thing here, and that is the necessity of personal resolution. Look at verse 2. David Solomon, he's in the dying days. He said, I go away all the earth, be a song that show thyself a man. He said, Solomon, be strong and act like a man. Show thyself as a man. Solomon's dad's going to be gone before long. Dad is not going to be around anymore. And he's saying that I want my death actually to strengthen your character rather than hurt your character. And you need to draw now. As long as things grow under the big oak tree, they never really develop like they should. But he is saying, I'm going to leave. Now you just keep living for God. You grow and you be a man and you do what God wants you to do. By the way, what a man. Somebody said that, what a man is. Now you, some of these young guys, they get to a certain place and say, now I'm a man. They say, well, now I can cuss. I can cuss, big man. I can smoke like a man. Now I can drink like a big man. I can live in sin like a man and all of that. That has nothing to do with being a man. absolutely would be. You can see sometimes they're going through that. They're barely out of puberty, and they want to prove to the whole world that they are men. But he's saying, here's what a man is. It's not biceps in karate and toughness, John Wayne. That's not what makes you a man. What was David's proof? David said, Solomon, if you're going to be a man, here's the proof that you'll be a man. Number one, you'll be wise. And then you'll be virtuous. You'll be a holy person. You'll live for God. And you'll be loyal to God. I've seen those bumper stickers, and you've seen them too. It says, real men love Jesus. Now, when I first saw that, I didn't like it, to be honest with you. I thought, that's a little in your face. Real men love Jesus. But I got to thinking about that, and then even in preparing this message, that bumper sticker came to my mind, and that's exactly what David was telling Solomon. He was saying, Solomon, real men love Jesus and serve Jesus. By the way, some of you men need to get on the, you need to get on the wagon and get going for God and not just follow your wife. You need to do what God has called you to do and be a man. We need men in our churches who mean business for the glory of God. And I believe it is true because the Bible bears it out. Real men love Jesus. Now that means we're going to have conflict. David is saying, Solomon, you're going to have some conflict, but be a man. We always have some conflict. What kind of conflict? Well, there's the uprising of the flesh. Anybody here doesn't have any problems with your flesh every once in a while? I saw one of our teenagers at the outing the other night, and his head was bad, and I knew he'd gotten hit with a volleyball earlier. And I said to him, you got a headache? He said, no, I was just praying that God would forgive me for losing my temper a while ago. Well, that's a good thing, amen. We face that, and we do that kind of thing, and we always have conflict with self. We always are dealing with the problem of the flesh, whether it's passion or whether it's pride, whatever it may be. But we have to be real men when it comes to that. We've got to say to the devil, I resist you in the name of Jesus. Leave me alone. I'm not going to do that. We have to also watch out for the influence of others. David was saying to Solomon, watch out. Be a real man. Stand on your own two feet. Do right, no matter what. And you'll be blessed by God. The evil influence of others. And I've said it recently in preaching in Proverbs, you are what your friends are. Your children's friends, and whatever they are, that's what your children really are. And so he's saying to him, you don't let other people influence you in the wrong way. Now, long term, the thing that hurt Solomon in the long run was he listened to his wives. Now, I know that's a comfort for a lot of you men, but let me explain that. Because he had many wives, and that was the day in which it was, and the way that it was. But his problem was this. They had false gods. And they brought their religion with them. And they said, well, go ahead and serve your God, but add Baal to it. Add somebody else to it. Add another god to it. Ashtaroth or someone. Add another god to it. And he began to succumb to them. And he had so many wives around him, so many concubines, that he began to listen to them. And that got him in trouble. Friend, what he was saying, what he was trying to tell Solomon was watch out who you run around with and stand up and be who you are for the glory of God. There were some popular customs in that day, and he was saying don't go along with them. And I say there's some customs in our society today, in our culture that are coming along, but you and I as Christians cannot afford to go along with those things. We must take a stand, whether it's in school, whether it's in business, whether it's our social relationship or national policy, we must say, I must obey God rather than men. So there's complete obedience he's calling for, and he's saying, you need to make up your mind who you're going to serve. As for me and my house, within, he says, there's the assurance of the blessing. Verse 3, the latter part. Look at what he says. Solomon, here's what I want you to do. Solomon, I'm leaving. I'm dying. Solomon, I want you to remember that you're responsible to God. But then he said, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, whithersoever thou turnest thyself. Wherever you go, whatever you do, if you'll do this, the reason I'm telling you this is I assure you, you will prosper. May I say today that we all know that it's a historical fact that as long as Solomon did what David told him to do, he prospered. Nobody has ever led Israel to the glory that Israel was led to, and nobody ever will until Jesus comes back. And he led it to be recognized all over the world, and people came from all over the world, the Queen of Sheba and others, and said, "The half has not been told," because he was listening to God. May I remind you today, listen to me, Christian, promises of God are contingent. It is, if you will, I will. If you will, I will. That's the way it is with getting saved. If you will believe and confess and pray and mean it and ask God to come into your heart today, friend, you can be saved. God said, if you will do that, I will save your soul. And he says to us as believers, if we will obey God, then God's blessings will be on us. It's contingent to whether we do it or not. And that's what David was saying to them. You know, if you've ever bought a house, sometimes you write a contract on the house and you make an offer contingent on your house selling. Brother Paul, I thought I'd mention that today for you. But you write a contract and it's contingent. I'll buy if my house sells. Contingent. And any real estate agent can tell you what that really means. But I can tell you there's some things in the Word of God that God says you've got to do if you want my blessings. And David just backed off and said to Solomon, do this, live for God, obey God, be a man, stand up, do what I'm telling you to do. I'm giving you advice, not so much about material things and all of that, but I've given you advice so that God's blessings can be on you and so God's blessings can be on Israel. Thank God that he promises us in the future, if we do what he says, he's going to bless us. I think that is for this life. The reason some Christians don't have blessings in their lives and they have it difficult, and I understand sometimes we have trials and tests and all of that, but sometimes the reason we don't have blessings is very simply because we're not obeying God. And a lot of times I think sometimes when some people have financial problems and it's because they have not worked these things out the way they should. I understand sometimes there are emergencies and that cannot be helped. But sometimes I think the thing we need to do with them, rather than just fund them, is to sit down with them and go over the principles of the Word of God and say, now, if you'll do what God says, starting with your giving to God and going from there and putting God first, God's going to work these things out. Start with the Word of God. And in this life, but thank God, not only in this life, but beyond this life, if we do what God says to do, he's going to bless us and we're going to be rewarded. Matthew 25:21. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Aren't you glad that if we obey God, do what's right, serve him with all of our heart, surrender our lives to him, put him first, that it'll never be in vain. One of these days like David. That's why David was telling him, Solomon, you're going to die one of these days. And I want you to live your life in such a way that when you stand before God, you'll have no regrets. And you'll know you lived it to the best of your ability. Let's stand. Our heads are bowed, please. Every head is bowed. Before we have our invitation, very quickly, I want to ask you two or three questions. Number one, are you really obeying God all the way in your life? Are you obeying God all the way? Are you hanging on to some sin? Are you hanging on to some attitude? Has God called you to go and preach? Or God called you to be a missionary and you're holding back and you're not obeying God? Listen, friend. Obey God and hear me completely. That's what God wants, is total and complete obedience. And make up your mind today by the grace of God, number one, if you're not saved, that you're going to trust Christ as your Savior and take him at his word so that you'll have a future that is a wonderful future, and give your life to Jesus today. I encourage you to come to him. I promise you God will keep his word. You'll never regret it if you get saved. Come today and be saved. An old believer, child of God, live for God. Make up your mind that you've got to have some commitment. And when you do, God will bless you as you serve Him. Father, speak to our hearts. Help us to obey You in all things. Help us to believe Your word and to stand up. Be like men. Be strong. To take a stand for Jesus in these days. Lord, we thank You that we have the Word of God and the promises of Your Word, that if we'll do that, You'll bless us, not only in the life to come, but even right now. May You speak to our hearts, and may we do Your will today. In Jesus' name, amen.